few years ago, African honeybees were imported to Brazil. They bred with a local species, producing a new, aggressive, and dangerous strain that, without provocation, attacked and killed countless animals and scores of humans. These bees spread uncontrollably throughout the country. Each year, the area infested by the killer bees grows larger and larger. At this moment, South America has been completely invaded. So far, there are no means to prevent these deadly insects from taking over the entire Western Hemisphere.
You're in the middle of the road, jackass!
Can you tell me where cornbread is? Turkey!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
And I'm Joe, and we're just buzzing by to say hi.
And we are today talking trash.
Talking trash.
Talking trash, indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and often forgotten flicks of the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we believe you truly can't review films unless you know what the worst is. And today, we are ending Turkey Fest.
Oh, that's the last time I get to do it.
That's right. The end of Turkey Fest. Turkey Fest is when we picked a whole bunch of movies that every year we pick movies that we know are bad, but we love. All right?
Yeah, it's fun.
I mean, movies that are so bad they're good. At least for us, anyways.
For us.
And we started the month a little weak because we started with a movie where I knew I'm not a fan of, and now we found out you're not a fan of.
Yeah, Howard the Duck.
Yeah, well, we came back strong, and we're now in the last film. So,
did we come back strong?
We sure did, I have a link to this. So today, I have to quote a man who is a better man than I am, who once said the immortal lines that I believe sum up what we're talking about today. That quote is, I got a strong constitution and a will to match. You know, $1,000 wine going down the hatch. I can rock you in the cradle until you scream for more. Baby, what are you waiting for? So baby, let's buzz. Buzz, baby. Buzz.
What?
Yeah, the Driller Killer. The Driller Killer. I have a link to my movies this year.
Oh my god, your movies are linked. Oh boy. Tell everybody what we're watching today.
Oh, so that's the link today because, you know, my second movie was Slumber Party Massacre 2, and which I absolutely love. And now we're on my last pick of the month because you picked two and I picked two. So today... Yep, we're talking about a movie that's tagline is They Prey on Human Flesh. We are talking about 1978's The Bees.
What is it? Oh, no, not the bees! Not the bees! Ah!
It has a 4 on IMDb from 1,500 reviewers. It's written and directed by Alfredo Zacharias. It was produced by Roger Corman with an uncredited writing and directing by writer-director Jack Hill, who did Foxy Brown, Dementia 13, and The Terror. Jack Hill was actually replaced. He was the original director and writer of this movie, and he was replaced by Zacharias.
Okay. Why?
No idea. I can't find out any information.
Oh, all right.
We're talking from the bees, babe.
This movie stars John Saxon. He is a very important man in this house. He is in tons and tons of bad movies, but also some really good ones, such as like Nightmare on Elm Street and things like that. So we love him. Every time he's in a movie that we get to watch, we're happy because we love John Saxon. He's an all-star in this house. So yeah, he's the star of the movie.
He is the star of the movie. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So what? Why did I pick this movie? Okay. Now we have a lot of stories here. There's a lot of information why I'm picking this movie. So on Monday nights we get together with our friends and we watch bad movies on purpose. And you know, we rotate. You know, people verse each other. So there's always two movies, and we verse the two movies, and we pick the best of the night, right? So we actually did this during quarantine. And we all did it online over our phones. And we both watched my choice of The Bees. And when we pick these movies, we've never seen them before. So I picked The Bees, and my other friend picked Ants. Right?
As a controversy for years to come.
So at the end of the night, the whole group unanimously said, oh, Ants. And I was horrified and offended by this pick.
Okay, well, you're still not over it.
I'm never going to get over it, and I'm never going to let anybody live it down.
Every single Monday for the last couple of years, I think you brought it up.
If there's a bee joke to be made, I'm going to reference it.
Yeah, so much you love this movie that you actually bought the special edition DVD.
Well, here's
how much you pay for this DVD again?
Back up. I'm just going to say, to end the night where my movie lost, I defend my movie pick, and unsuccessfully, until I had to storm off and go to sleep. I said, I can't deal with this anymore.
I remember how pissed you were.
I was like, this is a travesty. I stormed off our Skype or whatever the hell it was at the time. And here we are. Oh, now this is my favorite part of this story. We went to the Joe Bob Jamboree in Las Vegas. We went and supported Roger Corman was the guest, and we were watching Roger Corman movies. And Vinegar Syndrome had a booth. There was like a, you know, like merch booths and people there to support the show. And Vinegar Syndrome had a whole booth of all their DVDs. And the best part of their stuff is that they have obscure, bizarre picks for movies,
which we love.
And I went over there and I'm seeing this collection. And I'm like, I want to buy everything. So I started chatting up with the woman who was running the booth at the time. And I said, look, there's so many movies on this table that I want to own. And if I don't go home with some of these movies, I'm going to be mad at myself. Now I just have to decide which ones I will buy. So I have to have Miami Connection.
Yeah, that was a must.
It's a must. And I saw The Bees and I was like, you know, I have to have this. Oh my God. Just as a joke that I'm buying it to have it in my life forever. And the woman was so nice. She hooked us up. She gave me, because I was like, oh, but Tammy and the T-Rex is right here too, which we still haven't watched on this show. I want to, but it's another one that I think is hilarious. And she's like, nope, you know what? It's on the house. So we got hooked up. I mean, amazing person. It was a great, and I think mostly because I found out they had Biozombie, which is a movie that we love from maybe 20 years ago when we first saw it.
Love it.
And very shocked that they had it, but they had run out. I guess they sold them all. So I think she was being really nice because I kept buying movies. I kept going back and saying, I got to get another movie.
I know.
And then to the point where she was like, oh, you take this.
She just started giving you shit for free.
Yeah. Which was awesome.
You're like
so
her best customer.
We came home with some of the funniest bad movies from that table. And I absolutely love it. And the fact that I have a special edition of The Bees is mind-blowing. I just think it's so funny. And I was excited to watch this again. Mostly because I don't care. It's still making me laugh. I wanted to see like you with Howard the Duck, is it as good as I remember it being? Am I laughing? Yes. So here we are talking about it, and I'm really, really happy because watching it again, it was like a whole, like basically for the first time again. That's how it felt.
Yeah. I mean, for me too, because I don't think I remembered half the stuff that happened in this movie, which it was so, it was a little bit extra, you know, like there were some things in it that were like just a little just bit a extra. Little bit.
All right. I understand. Now listen to me. I know you no like Devil Bee, but I did not bring Devil Bees. Devil Bee's already here. And next year, more. In 2 years, many, many more abejas do diabo.
You know, it's like it took itself kind of seriously. And for the events that were happening in the movie, I'm like, no.
Okay, so my first question to you is, what do you think this is classified under on IMDb?
Accidental bee pun.
As genre,
it's either going to be a thriller or animal movie.
Well, no. Besides animal, like just the genre
okay. I would just say thriller.
Thriller.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that you're not saying comedy.
I mean, it's not supposed to be funny.
Chump, we must work fast. They bring these bees here just as we did. We must forget about breeding them. We must find a way to destroy them instead.
It's not?
I don't think so. That's what I'm telling you. That's I think what I'm it took itself here. Way too seriously.
Well, that's the thing. It is labeled horror, sci-fi, thriller.
Okay. I mean, I guess it is sci-fi thriller.
How is this not comedy?
Well, I think that you're not supposed to be laughing at it.
There is no human. I guess as we talk about the movie, I can't even talk about the movie without laughing.
Well, that's because we are who we are. But any unsuspecting Joe Schmo watching this movie would have no reason to laugh.
Bull if crap. You're
just, no, it's taking itself too seriously. This movie is taking itself way too seriously.
Yes, that kiss is for me, not for you. After all, she is my niece.
That's adding incest to injury.
But it proves her good taste.
Some of the scenes are very shocking where like you giggle because you're like, what? But overall, I think this movie took itself way too seriously.
Oh, this movie, that's the thing about this movie that is really insane. It multiple times throughout the movie, it changes what it is.
I mean, I can sum that up with this line. Are you mad? You want us to conduct peace negotiations with bugs? I actually wrote that quote down word for word.
Nice. Oh, this movie, the quotes, the comments, the acting, the B acting. Okay. Well, here on the show, we go through the whole thing. We spoil it. We talk out the story. We talk out the plot. And along the way, you know, learn a little bit about ourselves and the movie we're talking about.
I'm trying to figure out if I learned anything during this one. Oh, actually, I learned a lot because
we did learn a lot about bees. We're doing research as we're watching the movie this time.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, here we are, right? So, this movie starts out with a narration about how the killer bees are migrating into the United States from
Brazil.
But we cut to, like you said, was it Argentina?
Yeah. No, Brazil.
The opening was just Brazil.
Yeah.
It's funny because I'm trying to figure out all the locations because the movie's being filmed in Mexico, right?
And paying attention.
Okay, here's a fun fact about this movie. They shot this whole thing twice.
Why?
Because they filmed it in Spanish and English.
Oh, gosh.
So they can match up because this was a Mexican-produced film.
Hmm.
Which you can see because everybody looks confused with what each person is saying to each other.
I mean, it seems like nobody really knows what country they're supposed to be from in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, the overdubbing is like, yeah, everybody.
It's a crazy overdubbing.
Your attention, please. This is the captain, Captain Reveal. Mexican authorities are presently conducting a thorough investigation of the airplane. Please bear with this temporary inconvenience.
nobody knew where they were supposed to be from. Like, the actors didn't know what their designated country was.
Yeah. I cannot believe they did something twice. I'm shocked. I was trying to watch scenes and see if maybe there was like some slip through the cracks.
I mean, do they have to pay these actors twice? Jesus.
No,
Christ.
Because you do takes anyways. So you might as well do two takes, but one in Spanish.
Good Lord.
The movie starts with a, now we're in, like you said, in Brazil, and we were watching a man and his son with torches. I mean, giant torches. Now, I don't know about you, but I couldn't stop staring at the trees above them. I'm like, how are they not setting this whole thing on fire?
Yeah, I don't know why they would allow a child to be holding a torch like that.
I mean, this is not even a torch. Like, this is like a fireball.
Yeah, that's like child endangerment.
Yeah, well.
I mean,
this whole scene.
Yeah, first of all, that alone. But then you see them on like some kind of ranch, like a compound, and they're going in, they're trying to break into this like screened in area.
Well, yeah, they go over the fence. The son though says to the father, like, I'm afraid to go over there because of the bees. And I think the father's like, it's fine. It's fine. We're going to gas them. And when we put the gas on them, they fall asleep. You know, so when they go over the wall, the kid's like, oh, okay, then. So they go over the wall. Like you said, they get to the screen. Okay. Can we just talk about the screen and why they don't just cut it?
Well, first of all, okay, it's a door. There is wood panels on
this
door.
This is a screen door.
But he has to like jimmy it with a knife to get in. It seems a little bit... extra.
He could have literally
just ripped it off the hinge. It was a flimsy door.
And he could have just busted the lock. Instead, he takes it off completely off his hinges.
So you know right from there that the father has like half a brain cell in his skull and something bad is really going to happen to these two.
Yeah, because when they are taking this door off, the entire tent is shaking.
The whole thing.
I think they could have just tipped it and walked in.
Well, there's like those little like wooden beehives, like yeah, several well, of yeah, them the inside.
The beehive, so, like the little houses or whatever they're called.
Yeah, but I don't know what this guy's plan was. Like, I know he wanted to take his son in there and steal the honeycomb.
Papa, what does that say?
It says honey. Plenty of honey in there. When a man has only one son and four daughters, he has to gather plenty of honey for the market. There must be 20 or 30 pounds in each box. And I heard in the village that the Americans keep the best hives in their cage.
The bees produce the honey that's really expensive. And I guess they can get a ton of money from getting these bees, because I think what's going on here is that somebody wants them to steal these bees so they can bring it to a company that's going to learn how to make the honey. Because it turns out that these are quote-unquote killer bees in this one screened-in area.
Little ecosystem. Yeah.
So there's a killer bees, which is like Africanized bees. And so...
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, they have shown up all over America.
I thought that they don't want to sting anyone because then they'll die.
No. So here's the deal with the quote-unquote killer bees. There are, again, it's a creation of scientists, because what they did was they crossbred different area bees, and they became this one bee that's highly aggressive, will chase you for very long distances. They've killed over 1,000 people in America. Huh. There's been a lot of deaths because they keep showing up. They keep finding nests, or I'm sorry,
hives,
I guess. At the time when this movie came out, and I remember this, I don't know if you remember this, but when we were kids, there was a lot of talk that we were all going to get killed by killer bees.
Well, I mean, it affected a lot of us because, you know, Thomas J., you know, from My Girl, when he died, he got stung by many bees.
Well, that was just normal bees. But there was like a thing where people were talking about how killer bees were coming into America and they were going to kill us all.
Weren't they called something else, like super wasps or something like that?
That's now. That actually is recent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a giant wasp.
As if COVID-19 weren't enough to worry about, there is now a murderous hornet from Asia here. It is gigantic, has the potential to be able to decimate the honeybee population here, and it stings like the devil. Jim Murray spoke to a couple of guys who found that out firsthand.
What's it like to be stung by a giant murder hornet?
Ah! Oh, this thing stuck in my arm. Ah!
And now the bees were disappearing. That was like a whole nother thing because that would change our ecosystem so much.
Yeah.
But when we were kids, there was a real fear of the killer bees coming from. They were like, oh, the killer bees are coming from Africa and they're going to kill us all. And I remember that being a real thing that was all over the news.
So this is a very serious problem. And commercial beekeepers will be able to handle bees. I mean, Africanized bees I handle in Argentina. You will have to dress up like Santa Claus, of course. And it's going to be difficult probably to get people. I mean, the American beekeeper is probably the best trained beekeeper. They know their business. The commercial beekeepers have been doing it for many years, and they find ways of handling it. But it's not going to be that you walk out there as we are now. I mean, you will be protected. And so you have some situations which I can hardly tell you right now, but it's going to be difficult. Because you drive up in the car and bees will be meeting you at the gate.
And when you hear the words killer bees, you think, oh, but this is it.
Yeah, we're all going to die.
So I can see why these movies came out. And when I say these movies, because something really important to talk about here is that this movie came out at the same time as another movie, The Swarm. They were both coming out the same year. Warner Brothers actually paid Roger Corman to hold off the release of this movie. So He actually got paid a lot of money to not distribute this film when the other movie was coming out.
No way.
So when this movie bombed at the box office, he already had made money back.
Also, he didn't give a shit.
Probably not.
Well, how much money did the other movie make, The Swarm?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't look into that. I didn't look into The Swarm because I was focusing on this and I couldn't find out the budget and I couldn't find out how much gross it made. But what I saw was it was a bomb.
Oh, man.
But the fact that Roger Corman made money just for not releasing this kind of blew my mind a little bit.
I never ever thought about the bees like that. I don't
it
know.
It was a thing
that wasn't in my head at the time in the 90s. I don't remember what was in my head at the time in the 90s.
All the pot smoke. That's why. But so in this movie, we're seeing them really capitalize on that fear. So we have this child and this man breaking into this screen door, taking the screen door completely off, and they use smoke to smoke out the bees. It makes the bees get calm so they can take them. But the opposite happens here because these aren't normal bees. They're aggressive. So when they try to gas them, the bees just swarm these two and they go running.
You know, at first when I saw this, I was like, you know what? They're not going to go there. Are they really going to go there?
Yeah, this movie starts off not giving a shit.
They don't give a shit. They actually attack this man and his child. His child ends up getting stung so bad, he jumps in the water and he drowns.
Yeah.
But like, this movie does not give a shit. They kill elderly people, horses, children, older, like, younger gentlemen. I mean, they don't give a shit.
They don't. They kill logic. They also they kill screenplay writing. They kill directing. They actually kill the Air Force. Yeah, this movie does not give a shit about anything.
Yeah, I don't really
care. It does not care.
I mean,
the United Nations, fuck everything.
I mean, I kind of respect a movie like that. You know,
I have so.
Like,
I
not
can't
since
believe this movie
Jaws.
Exists.
Like Jaws came out in 76, right? This one came out when?
78.
Okay. So since Jaws, I mean, Jaws went there. You know, Jaws killed everything. Dogs, kids, whatever.
I guess that's true.
So I was like, wow, you know, that's kind of cool that they're going there. They're going to do that too.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But yeah, so.
So the kid drowns. And then we find out that this farm, the beekeepers are scientists. There's a husband and wife. And we get to meet these two characters. And the actress is played by Angel Tompkins. She's playing Sandra Miller in this movie. She was the news reporter in Alligator.
Do they have a love call?
Your alligator is a very romantic creature. It gets the itch come spring, and it'll give out with a sound something like this.
She's, I think, the one where he goes, the alligator meeting call. Ooh, remember that?
I love that movie.
Yeah, so we did that on the show. She's basically your typical housewife character in this movie. She seems like she has nothing going on but trying to get pregnant.
Franklin, when are you coming to bed?
What's the matter? Can't you sleep?
Well, sleeping isn't what I had in mind.
You know, I gotta say something. I'm okay. You know, in these movies that you watch in like the 1960s and stuff, that there's always an older man with a super young wife.
Yes. Yep.
And it's like, okay, this dude's in his mid-50s. This chick is maybe, I would say, 30. Okay. Like, what is going on? In this movie, this guy is clearly 80. Okay. I just don't care. He is old as fuck.
I wanted to ask you, doesn't he look like a Fonda?
He does look like a Fonda.
He looks like a very stretched out Fonda.
Yeah.
Like
he does.
Like a Peter Fonda.
Yep. And I don't understand, like, what was the thing back then? Like, why was it the norm for, like, older dudes?
Good
question.
Is it
because they were well established and they made money and the wives could stay home and be housewives?
I guess that's true.
I mean, because, you know, back then, I guess, well, the cost of living was like nothing, but, you know, I don't understand it. Like, if I was 30 years old, I wouldn't seek out a 57-year-old man to be my husband. Like, that's just weird. But it happened so frequently back then in the 60s and 70s. I'm like, what the fuck? So
I think it really comes down to that man in power thing, and they get a younger wife.
And it seems bizarre.
Yeah, like, it's just weird thing
to me. So
it does feel strange. But yeah, you agree, though, that her whole persona, like her whole personality in this film is, I'm going to get pregnant from him.
Yes. But also, like, they don't really give you any insight into her, like, right away. So your first instinct with her is that, okay, she has a maid. You know, she's a overprivileged little shit. She can't even make her husband breakfast.
She actually complains about breakfast that the maid is making. And the breakfast that the maid made a meal that would help with them to get horny.
What's this? Looks delicious.
Herbasante again.
What's the matter? Don't you like it?
Oh, sure. It's just that Rosa is trying to get me pregnant.
What does that mean to Dr. Miller? She ate plenty herba santa, have plenty babies.
By the time we get around to that, Rosa, it'll be Mr. Miller who will need to eat the herba santa.
Okay, that I don't get. I don't even know what she's putting in the eggs.
I know. I was like, some Viagra.
There's no rhyme or reason to any of this opening scene. But they want us to know that he works with the bees. So it's his...
He's a scientist.
Yeah, he's a scientist, and he's trying to, like,
engineer. He's trying to study. He's studying the killer bees.
Yeah. So...
And the royal jelly that they produce and stuff like that.
The royal jelly. I love that. Royal jelly. Anyway, so I guess after the kid dies, the townsfolk, they're like a lynch mob, and they come by screaming and carrying on, and the guy comes and he's like, you killed my son, you killed my son. No, dude, you killed your son. You killed your son because you broke into this guy's beehive and got your freaking son killed. And they're blaming this man and his wife.
You're right. The townspeople do come. They already, like, set up, like, they have he has a ranch hand, I guess you would call him that.
Yeah.
Like, he works with him.
Helper.
Yeah, a little helper. And now, what my favorite thing is, first in the night, they're like, oh, well, I hope whoever broke in got what they deserved. And it was like, we just saw a kid die, and we know that's messed up. But then when the next morning is when the townspeople come, because they're mad that the bees got out. But they don't seem like they know about the kid.
Yeah.
They're just there mad. And he talks them down. Now, can we talk about how he talks them down?
I don't remember how he talks them down.
by talking loud and in broken English.
Oh my God, it was so racist. I was like, okay, first of all, you have a guy that's he speaks Spanish next to you, standing right next to
yes,
you.
He's your that's why I brought up the ranch hand. Yeah.
And the way he's speaking to them is like, okay, just because you're speaking louder doesn't mean that they understand you any better. You're not speaking their native language. So how do they understand you just because you're speaking louder? So
louder and broken English.
And like broken like, English. It was so bad. I was like, oh my God, this is so racist.
He's like, be good, honey, coming. Like,
oh my God. Yeah, the townsfolk are the counting on the honey for their like economy, I guess. Yeah.
He's like, the bees aren't El Diablo. I mean, like, that's virtually what he's saying. They're not the devil.
Unless I fix Devil Bee so she not stinks so bad. Then Devil Bee, good bee, make plenty honey. You get honey, sell in market, make plenty money. But I need time. Time to turn Abeja do Diabo into good bee. So go home now. Please, go home.
Right? And then my favorite thing about this is when they cut to the villagers, they're going, huh, he's making a lot of sense. Until the father, who abandoned his child, brought his child into a place to steal bees, carries his child's dead body into there. Now, I was like, you're a scumbag, dude. You did this.
He's like, you're saying, you killed my son. No, you killed your son.
You killed your son.
What is wrong with you? Why would you take your son to a heist, first of all?
Yeah.
Like, he's 9 years old, and he... And how did they get separated, first of all? Because the kid
we don't even know
drowned.
Where the husband went. Yeah, the father went.
Like, that's just crazy. Whatever. So then the townsfolk get all riled up and they start like...
They throw a rock right at his
head. They throw a rock right at the man's head. And then they go in the house and they start burning the fucking house.
Yeah, but not only... They shake... The wife gets a shotgun and then they start throwing her around.
Yeah.
I mean, she gets messed up in this film.
Yeah, she gets messed up big time. But the husband comes in and throws her into like... Okay, they have like a meat freezer. Okay. That's... Which is probably the safest spot because bees don't like the cold. So the bees come out, they get loose, and they're just attacking everybody. Well, the husband, who kills the husband? Because he ends up dying.
That's the funniest part, is that the husband's like, I'm going to the meat freezer. Ooh, I forgot my books. So he goes back inside.
Back, yeah.
When he gets back outside, and I love that his ranch hand just went and booked. He took off.
Oh, he's left.
Yeah. My favorite, there's like two actors grab this guy by his shoulder, his arms, and he's wiggling around. And there's bees all over the screen. Like all over. I know that they're using like a little thing lacing over the front of the camera, which looks like bees, but then they also have real bees. Like there's bees. This is the itchiest movie, by the way,
of
all time.
They're all over these actors.
You have to itch every second, but. Some guy just comes up behind him and just hits him like a pinata. It's so friggin' funny. He looks like he just takes a stick like you would hit a pinata with. And he just like hits him, taps him on the head. And the guy just falls and dies, I guess. Because he's got bees all over his face. And the wife's watching from the cooler.
She can see from the window. Yeah. Okay, and that's usually freezers don't have windows.
I was wondering about this too. There's like the sun would come in. It feels like it would be.
Yeah, it'd be pointless.
Yeah, it feels weird. And then she's looking perfectly. And it, of course, the window is facing his dead body.
Yeah, she sees him die.
Yeah.
So then I guess this woman has two introductions in this movie. It's strange.
Yes.
Because in the next shot, we see her. Coming into the city.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she leaves Brazil.
We didn't know it was her.
No, we didn't. So she's coming into the city and she goes into the building.
Yeah, the reason I think we didn't know it was her is because I think there's a scene that is between here with John Saxon getting a call or talking to somebody and having like a meeting. I think we might have actually been introduced to John Saxon and John Carradine. Who's in this movie. I feel like they're having a talk.
I'm sure that most of you heard about the unfortunate incident that occurred at our genetic research station in Brazil last month. The scientist who was killed in that tragic accident was a close friend and colleague of Dr. Hummel here, who has spent his life in the study of bee communication. Now, there's no question that the African bee is dangerous, and that's all the more reason why we need international cooperation.
It seems to me more proper to direct your request for funds to the organization of the American States Would it not? Isn't it really your problem?
As far as danger to livestock and people is concerned, yes. But as our report makes clear, if we can successfully develop a new hybrid form of this species, we can double the production of honey and other bee products.
That would be very important for my country.
And then we cut to a taxi cab showing up, so we didn't know what was happening. Right? And then the woman gets out of the taxi cab, has like 80 bags, and we see two guys follow her into the building.
So this is one of those scenes where like Ashley goes fucking nowhere, because why would, okay, so she goes into this building and she's got her luggage in the elevator and they're in the elevator and they just start fucking accosting her. Like they start like trying to grab her bags and stuff. Now, this is what's amazing to me. Okay. So they jostle her around. She gets jostled.
She gets thrown out of the elevator.
She gets thrown out of the elevator. And then the guy opens up one of those 1970s hard shell makeup bags.
Yeah, it looks like a tackle box.
It looks like a tackle box. Every single, like my sisters all had one. And they decide to open this. Now, what would possess a person to keep bees just loose in a freaking makeup case?
This woman,
there's no
brought bees
rhyme
in
or reason
her makeup.
Like, okay, how were you going to think about this? Think about this. How were you going to open this case safely? How were you going to do that?
I don't know.
Because
I don't even know what the point of this was.
Open up the case and they fly out.
Yeah.
What was your plan here? And how'd you get them inside there and not fly away? Like, what is going on?
Yeah. I will say, when you said jostled her around, they beat her.
They don't beat her.
She has a huge bruise on her face. They punch her in the face against the wall when they go back into the elevator. So she has to run down like 6 flights of stairs to catch up to them. But we're watching that they're being killed by the bees inside.
Okay. So this is the scene this is the introduction to her. Now, this is the strangest scene ever, because she has all of her luggage and stuff, and she's banging on John Saxon's door, right?
Yeah. I just wanted to say the two guys in the elevator, they run out into the street. One guy jumps through the window, and the other guy jumps in front of a cab and then jumps in front of another car and gets hit, which looks great.
Oh, yeah. That
I think they
really
sped
cool.
it up, but the stunt guy it looks like he really got hit by a car.
Yeah.
It looks great. I just had to say that real quick.
No, but so she's knocking on John Saxon's door.
I feel like she didn't even knock. I feel like she opens the door because he's just standing there making out. He doesn't open it.
No, the door was open.
It was just wide open.
It was wide open. I think he was saying goodbye to his, like, you know, lady of the night or whatever. But she walks in and she's all fucked up and disheveled. And she doesn't. What's amazing about this woman is that she doesn't tell John Saxon at all what just happened to her in the elevator. Also,
she doesn't have her bags either.
There's no bags. And also, no one's like, there's no people screaming or carrying on about the dead bodies in the freaking street right now.
The street, and the bees are all over the hallway.
The bees are all over the hallway, possibly coming into his apartment. She doesn't tell him anything. She's like, oh, so happy to see you. Like, are you kidding me right now? What just happened to you? So he's like, let me clean you up. You look like a mess. She doesn't even bother to tell him that she just got assaulted at all.
And he actually says, I thought this was a real weird line of dialogue. He says, I didn't know it was raining out.
Oh my God.
And I was like, it isn't raining out. Is this just sweat from the beating and running down 6 flights of stairs?
I don't understand why they needed to put this scene in the movie. What is the reasoning?
I don't know.
This is so stupid. Like, why? Why do we need her to get assaulted by two guys? And why? Like, you just make yourself look dumb putting those bees in a freaking makeup case like that.
Well, come in, please.
Are you all right?
You have a guest. I'm terribly sorry.
Well, that's all
right. Maybe if you could just find me a hotel.
No, this is Alicia Encino.
Encinas.
This is Mrs. Miller.
How do you do?
It's fine, thank you.
Hey, let me take your coat off. I didn't even know it was raining outside.
Oh.
Are you sure you're all right? You've got quite a bruise there on your forehead.
So just to sum up what we've already seen, we have now seen her husband get murdered, a child get murdered, her being locked in a meat freezer, and then suddenly being all, like completely
attacked
in an elevator in New York now, or California. I can't tell where they are at any times in this movie. And then she's like happy.
She seems fine.
She's just happy. And by the way, the only bag she has, she left all the other bags out in the street or whatever. The only bag she has is that makeup kit, and which she puts down on the counter. And of course, John Saxon's girlfriend or whoever this woman is that he's with, she's jealous. And so when he brings her into the bathroom to like clean her wound, that girl, of course, because any woman has to go into a makeup bag, she opens up the makeup kit and the bees get her.
Yeah, she runs away. So she makes it out. And so this whole entire introduction to her with John Saxon is completely pointless.
John Saxon's like, what about my friend? And she's like, oh, she'll be dead in a minute. And he goes, I need my friend. She goes, oh, wait, no, I'm just kidding. The bee's fine.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the bee.
I was like,
The bee didn't sting her. But there's several hundreds of bees in this fucking case.
Yeah, and she's just like petting. Oh, they're on. And she actually puts him in his plant. Like, I was like, is John Saxon okay with bees in his apartment?
John Saxon seems to be okay with everything.
It's wild. But that's how we meet these characters. And now he goes, use the bed, you know, get a good night's sleep, and I'll see you in the morning. And then when we see them in the morning, he is doing his, like, karate poses. And she comes out in one of his karate outfits, like his...
his gi.
But she doesn't look like she has anything on underneath, really.
Well, she doesn't have any fucking clothes.
That's what I'm saying. So she comes out in his gi, and of course, they get, like, he re-puts her belt on for her. Now, I just want to point this out again. Her husband that she was obsessed with having a child with, and that's why I brought this up, is dead.
Yeah.
She is now flirting with this guy instantly.
I mean, it's probably been about a week. She's fine.
How did she get out of the meat freezer?
They carried her out. Remember?
Never showed it.
Yes, they did. The guy, the helper, carried her out and then ran away.
That's the setup to this character.
I mean, but the thing is, though, I like her in this movie. Like, I think she's cute.
I guess if you're going by that. I mean, that's her character.
Come on. Her husband was, like, easily 88 years old anyway. Come on.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, she just moved on. It's been a week. It's been long enough.
Well, I guess it's the reason that she shows up at John Saxon's house in the first place, and he seems to have known that she was coming in that day. It wasn't prepared for her at all.
Yeah, I mean...
and left a door open, he could have been having sex.
No, he was saying goodbye to his lady.
They were making out pretty... they were going at it.
He was saying goodbye to her. So, okay. Yeah, okay, the door was open, so obviously she's leaving.
Yeah, I don't think they were... what I'm getting at is they weren't about to leave. They were not... they were about to shut that door.
No, I don't know. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
My point is, like, he didn't know she was coming. But the reason that I guess she even came there in the first place is because he works with her grandfather?
Her uncle.
Her uncle.
Ziggy. Uncle Ziggy.
Yeah, his last name is Hummel, which is actually German for bumblebee.
That's cool.
John Carradine is playing the uncle.
Yep.
And he works with John Saxon. They are working for a company that is trying to... they're studying the bees, and I guess they're doing some kind of work in keeping... I don't really know what their job is here. But all I do know is that Ziggy, John Carradine, his character is trying to communicate with bees. He made a computer that is studying the bees, and they're like, it's finding out how they communicate with each other, and they have like a fake bee. And he's trying to figure out if there's a way to talk to the bees.
So it's like a little robot, like a little robot bee.
Well, there's like a little bee, which I guess is a real thing, is like it tricks the bees into making them move to a certain direction or something like that. But he's got his science lab is like lights behind walls all over the place. And it's supposed to be a giant computer. And he's somehow just trying to communicate with bees. And he's actually doing bee talk a lot. He's like, bee, bee, bee. Yeah. buzz, buzz. Yeah.
Buzz, buzz.
He keeps doing it a lot. So I guess that's what's going on. And I guess she came here to work because, and I love this, by the way, John Saxon says to her when she gets there, he basically says, I know that your husband didn't mean to fail.
I just want to say I'm sorry about your husband. I know that the failure of the project wasn't his fault. I'll be right back.
Jesus. Like, he just died.
He just died. That was kind of rude. But still, I don't know. I didn't think of him as an asshole in this movie, though. I thought he was all right.
No. Just an asshole absolutely. Comment. It's just like, wow, that was really off-puttingly weird. Like, that's something you wouldn't say to someone who just lost their husband.
Yeah.
But she doesn't seem to give a shit. And now we get a scene where we find out there is a competitive company that is also trying to get the bees and get the honey they're producing. So, because they're doing makeup companies that use royal jelly and all this stuff. They don't want any controversy about the bees being bad. And so they're kind of covering up bad things that have happened. And they might have been in charge of that guy and his son trying to steal the bees in the first place.
Yeah, of course. They're trying to like keep it on the down low.
Well, we get a scene, this is hilarious, where a guy pulls up in a car, and now I think we're back in, was it Argentina or Brazil? Where was it again?
Brazil.
In Brazil. And a guy gets out of the car, and they play like the Spanish guitar music extremely loud for the character who is the ranch hand walking up to him.
So we know who he is.
There it was pretty no racist. Way that we know that that was him. You can tell he looks like that guy. But the reason those are playing the music, like he's walking up like he's some kind of like a desperado or something like that. You know, he's walking up with that guitar playing. It's so bizarre. This guy's name is Julio Caesar.
Yeah, the actor.
Yeah, and that's the character's name because he says, all right, Julio Caesar.
Julio Caesar, fernami te procura.
Ya voy. Julio Cesar, I've got some news for you, and some money.
What kind of news? And how much?
How would you like to spend your vacations in the United States? All expenses paid by my company.
You better not be cheating me, man.
I'm not, it's for sure.
But that's him in real life too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this guy's gonna, he's like, I'm gonna pay you a lot of money to smuggle bees into America. And he's like, I don't know, isn't it risky? He's like, well, we're talking a lot of money. And he goes, okay.
Oh my God, I need help with this right now. Like, I need help with this because this is when the movie just completely takes a turn and goes completely bonkers.
So what happens is he does it, but then the only we find out is that there's something on the tarmac that's happening and there people are being taxied in like this this giant plane truck.
Yeah, I had no idea that these things existed back then.
Yeah, this is when you used to walk on the tarmac.
Okay, I never did that.
No, I've never done it either, but that used to be a thing. You never were, like, walked in
like the little
the hallway. Yeah. It used to have to get out in the hall. They used to have to roll that staircase up.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So there's, like, they're being taxed, and we were confused. We're like, what is happening? But I guess what has occurred is that Julio Caesar has now died on the plane because he has a bee belt. Okay. He had a belt full of bees.
Okay, now I have a question here. So he gets stung multiple times. Okay.
I guess so, from killer bees.
Okay, I have a question. So they do make mention of they had to make an emergency landing with the plane because the bees got loose on the plane. And they were stinging people. So they said that, 40 plus people had to go to the hospital with bee stings?
Okay.
Okay, so how many bees stung him? Like, how did he keep the bees on his body? And how did they get out? What is a bee belt is what I'm trying to ask you.
Joe,
What the fuck is a bee belt?
I'm guessing it's the same kind of thing when people strap, like, cocaine around their bodies. Because, yeah, obviously they don't frisk you or do anything. Could you imagine the guy had to frisk somebody or check him at, you know, are you smuggling anything into the country? Do you have a bee belt?
I mean, honestly, this is like, I've never, it's like a suicide mission. Why would you strap bees to your body? And then the worst part is that they're showing whoever, the police, they open up the body bag and all the bees come flying out.
Yeah, they like take it, open up her shirt, and they're just pouring out.
But here's the most amazing thing about this is that they multiply at like an exponential rate.
Yeah.
Bazillions.
This is where it gets confusing because
within seconds.
With seconds, we basically start seeing the bees, like you said, multiplying to the extent where they look like clouds of smoke.
It looks like the smoke monster in
from
Lost.
I knew you were going to say
it. I was like, what is happening here? First of all, it reminded me, it was very reminiscent of the birds.
Yes, they seem like they're referencing that.
It seemed like they used some kind of footage from that. I don't know why. Like it just looked like a big black cloud of smoke. I'm like, okay, hold on a second. So where are we supposed to be now? In California, right?
So it seems like California's beaches start getting attacked by bees.
Why would the bees go anywhere near the salt water? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. Maybe there is a bee thing on beaches. I don't really know because I've never been around it. But they seem... So I guess what they're basically trying to say here is that the killer bees have gotten loose in America. Now, I blame the woman with the elevator as well because she let them loose with her makeup kit.
Yeah. Right? Well, I mean, she got accosted.
Yeah. And so... What they kind of are saying is that the bees will go to other hives and then the queen can cross-pollinate, right? They can cross-breed with these bees. And they can, apparently, the queen bee lays like 2,000 eggs. So they can populate extremely fast.
I mean, that's just... First of all, I am reading on Google that they are attracted to salty water.
But there you go.
They are.
So... If they were at the airport and they somehow got to the beach with other hives, they could have spread.
But
they start spreading to insane levels.
I mean, it's insanity.
And we watch funny scene after funny scene of people being killed by the bees. And
one guy just faints.
Oh, I love on the beach. One guy just passes. I said, I think that guy's the only one that survives here because he's not running. You know, but I love all the, it's like Roger Corman went up to every hippie, every guy that was stoned or on acid and was like, look up in the sky. There's something there. And they were like, whoa, there's one guy that looks like he's just tripping out looking at the sky, like double rainbow, you know, and one woman dies in the bathroom. She gets bit and she instantly has like, she can't breathe and she dies instantaneously. There's
people that are allergic to bee stings.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying it's just the way that it's happening and the people overacting for the bee attacks is just outstanding. And we see a lot of that in this movie. And the more and more we see it, the more the cloud of smoke of bees. But we also see that the bees fly into a cave.
Yeah. Now, I have a problem with this because I know that caves do tend to get cold. Right?
I don't know.
I don't think that's like an ideal environment for bees.
I mean, also what doesn't usually happen is that this is actually like a cave from Star Trek. Because the bees go in there and they make a giant computer hive mind and they actually start glowing and pulsating. But there's a reason for that, or at least there's an attempt at it. Because... at one point in the movie, because the bee attacks start happening, like John Saxon and them trying to figure out, oh, the killer bees are starting to come over here and they're spreading and people are dying. And, you know, we get all that. So they try to go, him and this woman, they start trying to investigate it. So they go out and they're finding the hives from where the attack areas were, apparently. And they find a giant satellite dish. And they say that it's radiated, and the area is extremely radiation.
Why did they let humans go beyond certain points?
That's true. Because
they don't even have like a Geiger counter or anything like that.
Yeah, he just looks at it. They make a joke about it.
Yeah, there's some radiation happening.
Yeah, and I guess what they're trying to say is that the beehives are all around the satellite area.
You can freaking see them. They're huge. So if they're okay, so if they're getting radiation from these satellites, so they're just completely mutating. It's, I mean, I expected at one point, like, oh my god, they're gonna be like a kaiju. Like, we're gonna see like a kaiju at one point, because they're like getting all this like radiation and stuff.
Yeah.
So they're gonna be mutated. No, that doesn't happen.
No, I mean, I mean, this movie does have this movie does have a tagline about eating human flesh, which bees don't do. No. I have no idea. It doesn't happen in this movie. And even the poster is like a giant mutated bee with a mouth.
Right. That's what I thought. That's, I looked at the box and then I looked on IMDb. Nothing like it. No, it's nothing like it. I was like, oh, come on, man, this is a dupe.
Although the special editions box is more realistic to what happens in the movie.
It is. It kind of looks
like, I actually like it.
It's pretty artsy, the cover. I like it. Yeah,
it's pretty neat.
But I have to say this, okay? I don't know what these actors were paid, but there is no fucking money in the world.
Yeah, so I guess, and there's a lot of bees in this movie, and I guess they all have no stingers.
Oh my god, I don't even care. They're all on them.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not talking about one or two bees. I'm talking about like droves of bees on them in swarms, and then crawling on their nostrils and their eyeballs and shit.
There's one scene in particular where Saxon is very annoyed by it.
You can tell.
I can't wait to get to that, because that's where the most insane shit starts happening. But yeah, there's a crazy cave hive mind. I really don't know. The movie's not telling you, but they constantly cut to it. And I love that we like watch a kid look into the cave. Bees are all over this kid. The kid's not really reacting to it, but there is a pulsating light out of the middle of the hive.
Yeah, like that's when I thought like the big like mother bee is gonna pop out and it's gonna be like, rah, and
you don't know.
Kid.
Yeah,
but I was waiting and waiting and waiting. And mind you, I have seen this movie before. I just don't recall. So it's been years. But I was waiting. I was like, oh my god, is this the movie that has like a mutated something and it's going to come out like a, you know, like a Star Trek monster?
Of course.
No.
Yeah, no.
And the stupid ass kid just stands there and just.
Yeah, we don't even know what happens to that kid. Yeah. It's just shots and shots of stuff
Well, you do hear a scream, so we know the kid gets it.
Oh, wow. Okay. I love that we have, because we keep getting, the more and more of these bees are now in that cave, we're starting to see the clouds moving into areas. And one of the scenes in particular is like, there's an old man on a bench and he tells two kids to get him some bees and he'll give them $2. Give me 4 bees because I have bad legs.
He has rheumatoid arthritis. And it is true, I did Google it, that the venom from bees does help with rheumatoid arthritis.
That's interesting.
However, why would you put the lives of two children in danger and offer them $2?
Because he wants to get them in this paper bag, but don't let them lose their stingers because I'm going to have them bite my legs.
So he puts these kids in danger.
I love these two kids. He's like, I'll give you $1 now and $1 when you come back. So they go do it. And as the other little kid walks up to the two kids and goes, what are you guys doing?
Hey, what you guys doing? What's it to you? Catching bees for some old jerk. You're putting me on. What do you mean, catching bees?
No shit, the old guy's paying us to catch him some bees.
Yeah, how much is he paying?
None of your goddamn business.
$2. $2 for bees?
Like the one kid's
like he was getting like $1 million. Yeah, that was like, funny.
Keep your mouth shut, and the other kid tells him. And he's like, wow, $2 for some bees. And the kid is like he looks like he came from baseball practice. And he looks up in the tree and there's a hive that looks like a person is in the tree of bees. And of course this kid goes, I'm gonna hit it with a baseball. So he hits it, and then the bees spread on everybody, and they kill, like, so many people.
So many people, but the best thing ever is that this guy who wanted just, like, 4 little bees.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets completely mauled, where they're completely consuming him. Like, donezo. And I made a comment to him, like, oh, he can't really walk because he has bad knees, but he sure did flail about.
The bees' knees. He goes flying.
Like, wow, he's cured.
The actor is so funny. He's like jumping up and down. He's crawling. He's flying all over the place. It's amazing. So funny.
I love that scene.
The whole thing. I love that the two kids that got him the 4 bees, they go run and hide behind a statue from bees.
Yeah. But
the bees are like, I can't see you there.
I know. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Literally everyone in that park gets it.
Everybody gets killed. And then I guess it keeps getting more and more stuff. John Carradine. His scientist character. I guess we should point out that at this time, Carradine had very bad arthritis, and it is very hard to watch the scenes without looking at his hands. I feel so bad for him at this point in time.
Yeah.
It's very hard to, it's hard to, unsee because you keep looking down at
them. Yeah. He's got like, claws almost. It's terrible. Yeah,
it's like they're just morphed from the arthritis being that bad.
Yeah.
And,
it's a shame.
Yeah, he's doing a German character too. He's doing a whole accent, a whole voice, because it's like a running joke that the most scientists at one point in time were like all German. Yeah. So like you always see German scientists. This is the reason why. So yeah, he's doing that character, but I guess he creates some kind of like a pheromone that will spread into the hive that will make the males not want to be with the queen. They will try and have sex with each other, which will make them useless, and then they will turn on each other. So they spread it into one of the hives, and they watch the bees basically kill the queen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, it works. We can stop them, and we have to get everybody involved in it.
Right.
So
the United Nations, everybody.
Not the United Nations, but like the president of the United States, the government, because the bees are out of control. So they bring that to them. And of course, that larger corporation is the bad guys. They're not happy about it. But they allow John Saxon to do it. And they basically start spreading the gas everywhere to get the bees to kill each other.
Right, but that totally backfires.
It actually works. It starts getting rid of the bees. But they didn't know about the hive cave.
Right.
The giant cave.
Yeah.
Which is mad. Yeah. It knows what they're doing, Joe.
See, because they're coming in and trying to mess up their natural ecosystem, their natural habitat. So, like, don't fuck with their environment. Like, if you don't mess with them, they won't mess with you. It's kind of like, you know, when you're sitting in the garden, and when we went to Canada, we're sitting in the garden and the roses and stuff, and there's, like, bees flying around. I didn't move. I didn't touch them. I didn't say, hey, man.
It was weird.
Hey, man, like, back up. I didn't say that. I didn't try and flick them. I didn't try to hurt them. Just sat with them, and they sat with me, and it was fine.
Oh, I was very uncomfortable. Well, here's the deal, though. Because this movie doesn't know what kind of movie it is, John Carradine's character goes and tells one of the bad guy corporation people. He tells him, oh, and by the way, because they get, like, medals from the president. The president actually calls John Saxon to thank him. Everything's going great. And then The guy from the bad corporation, John Carradine, goes, hey, I found out while I was doing some research that someone in your company is stealing money. And that's why all this stuff might have happened, is that they were, like, funneling money. And he goes, who knows about this?
Yeah, but what does it have to do with the fucking bees?
Who knows? This comes out of nowhere in the movie.
This is, like, another pointless, like, thing that happened. Oh, there's
so many plot lines. It's like, what? So this guy goes, who else knows? Well, John Saxon and my niece.
Oh, no.
And by the way, when we talk about his niece, there's a scene in this movie where, by the way, John Saxon now and his niece, the one that was her recently deceased husband that just got over that, they're hooking up. They fully are involved in each other now.
He's John Saxon.
It's full on. John Saxon's like, I love you.
That took a minute.
It took a minute.
Oh, my God. That just goes along with the older men. And the younger wives thing, like, how did these people fall in love within 5 minutes of meeting each other? Like, they all did it. I watched so many movies today, like black and white movies. Dude, I mean, literally, I just met you 3 minutes ago. Do you want to get married? That kind of shit. It just happened.
It was serious like that back in the then. Day.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, they didn't waste any time.
And these days now, that's totally forbidden.
And you have to go through a whole class. You got to hook up like
85 people.
You have to take a test. You have to give blood. You have to go through
a whole big
background check.
None of the two people just have to agree.
Well, if I was dating today, I would probably not date. But I'm just saying, there would be nobody that I would know. Nope.
I don't know
how I think everyone's a murderer. So.
Oh, nice. Everybody's just trying to hook up.
Yeah, there's that. You know, hooking up is one thing, but, you know, the whole relationship thing? Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No.
Well, they're together, but the scene I wanted to bring up in particular is that she's on they have footage of her holding bees while sticking her tongue out and making cute faces. And both John Saxon and John Carradine are both watching this. And they're both talking about, oh, she's very hot.
No, that's not what happened. You're making it gross.
It is gross. Okay, it's
first
weird.
Of all, no. So she's on camera. They have like her on camera making googly faces, like you said, and she blows a kiss to the camera.
John Carradine says, that kiss is for me.
That kiss is for me. She's my niece. And, and John Saxon says, that kiss is for me. And
no, he says,
that's adding incest to injury.
But it proves our good taste.
He brings up incest. I'm the one that's making it weird?
Well, they laugh about it like it's funny. But I'll tell you this.
And he goes, I have good taste.
What if, this is his niece from like marriage, like not blood, you know?
What does that make it any better?
I don't know.
You freaked out when it was Dexter.
Well, excuse me. That's disgusting. Okay. He and Deb grew up together as brother and sister their whole lives. Okay.
It was just a point.
That's disgusting. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to condone it. I'm just saying it was,
he's an old man.
I thought he was just being cute.
I love that she was standing there the whole time listening to them. And she's like, I love you both. And she kisses them both.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I just thought he was just a cute old man. Like, I didn't think of it
as gross. I'm sure. But it was just when he brings up incest and it's like, that's a weird comment to each other.
I mean, he should have never made that comment because he just made it weird. But he
made it really strange. Well, it was already strange when she said that kiss was for me.
I mean, that's these characters are weird.
I have good taste.
They're not like, the most normal characters. They're weird.
Well, here's the deal. Because John Carradine's an idiot and told this guy that someone was funneling money, it was him. So he calls a hit on the biggest Zach Morris phone you have ever seen in your life. I mean, this thing looks like a giant stapler shoe-like thing.
So it was like the 70s version of a burner phone. Like
you guess call it's wired.
Like hire a hitman on.
Yeah. He has two of these on his desk, but he calls a hit. And two hitmen in turtlenecks and suits show up to kill John Carradine, and they shoot him a couple times.
That's so sad.
But the bees get, because when they shoot John Carradine, the bees get pissed.
And the window gets blasted out, and they come out.
And they come and get, they go specifically after these two guys, the bees. And they get one of them. But John Saxon and his niece show up at this place, and they go, hey, listen, the bees are loose. It's nighttime. That's not what happens normally. Something's wrong. So they run inside and they find him shot. And then the other guy comes in there to kill them. And so John Saxon gets to show off his Bruce Lee fighting skills. And he has a full-on fight with this guy.
He wasn't Enter the Dragon.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know, come on.
So they have a fight. They have a giant fight. I love that he's like, take cover. And she takes cover behind the uncle. I was like, he hadn't been through enough.
Damn. And he wasn't even, was he dead at that point?
He wasn't dead yet. I don't know. God. Maybe he did die before that because he had like a whole speech.
Oh, poor guy.
He's like, the bees know. He has like a speech before he dies.
Well, so they have a huge fight with the guy, comes in.
He sticks a case of bees on his face.
Which is amazing because, like I said, there is no amount of money that could ever get me to put bees on my face. I don't care. I can't do it. I would be so, I would flail about. I would smack them. I would hurt them. You know, and these are just worker bees. They're just actors. You know, they're just trying to get through the day.
That's true.
They're just trying to get through the scene. But I couldn't do it. I would hurt them. But John Saxon and Sandra, the character Sandra, had bees all over them.
Not yet. But yeah, I mean, they're in
inside
there.
Inside that lab.
But it's not yet. It gets worse.
I mean, they did have him on there.
Yeah. It's not as bad. This one guy, the one hitman, had him in his mouth.
Oh, my God.
There's a part where he's screaming. They look like they're coming out of his nostrils and his mouth.
Yeah, he spit out the bee. It's like
when Tony Todd had to do it in Candyman.
There's no fucking way. I don't care. You can't pay me enough. You can't.
Jeez. And he had that bonus. Tony Todd had that bonus. Every sting, he'd get like a certain amount of money.
Oh, I don't care. No fucking way. Yeah. There's no amount of money. And like Nicolas Cage eating that cockroach in Vampire's Kiss.
And
no.
He had bees on him too in The Wicker Man.
In The Wicker Man. No. Let me tell you,
That's crazy.
There's no fucking way I could ever do any of Nicolas Cage's roles.
Well, that's Nicolas Cage saying it, because they could have given him a fake one, but he asked for a real one.
Oh my God, no.
He's nuts. Love him. But here we are, right? So they kill off the thing, but the problem is the bees know. They know that the hit was put out on John Carradine, who they loved. And they literally, and I'm not kidding here, they go get revenge.
They do.
They go after the guy who ordered the hit. They actually break into his place, and they actually hide in his liquor cabinet.
They do. They do.
And
it's
so,
quite impressive.
It's so impressive. When he goes to get some liquor, as you do it off at the office, you open up your little cabinet. They're in the liquor cabinet. They jump on his face. They all fly into his face, making him jump out the window. And the best rag doll falls out the window ever to the street below.
It was amazing.
It's amazing. They literally got revenge. And then they're so mad that they go ape shit. This is when they start killing everybody, to the point where they no longer can be killed by that gas. They have evolved past it.
Right. So you see like the military or like, you know, flamethrowers, all that stuff.
As you do, you send out jet fighters to go drop bombs on the bees.
Where?
What is happening?
Where? You can't drop a bomb on a bee.
They're parachuting into them.
I just don't understand this.
They parachute in. They set up. I love this one guy just falls onto the floor.
Stuck footage.
If you're watching that footage.
Yeah.
The guy just lays down. And the other guy's flamethrowing everything. The planes also take off at a snowy place. I don't know what's happening. And the planes start crashing.
For no reason.
The bees are crashing the jet fighters.
Oh my God. Okay. I this was a little bit ridiculous because, first of all, I mean, that would mean that more than one bee was in this plane and got the pilot.
Yeah. Or they took out the engine.
Like, at what point? And they were in like snowy, like Antarctica or something.
I don't know what's happening. It's so insane. But
they use so much stock footage of planes crashing.
Yeah, one of the people, the other scientists, call John Saxon. And they're like, hey, what the hell? What's going on? And he goes, John Carradine's dead. There's nothing I can do about it. They've mutated past it. I don't know what to do. Right now, we're trying to communicate with them. And that's when he says that line. You're trying to communicate with the bees?
What the bloody hell is going on?
I don't know, Doctor.
Florida Central, get me Dr. Norman.
Yes, this is John. I know what's happening. The Pheron isn't working.
There's got to be an explanation.
There's been a mutation, a new strain, and, well, it's out of control.
You mean those bees have become immune to the Pheron?
I really don't know. Hummel is dead, and there doesn't seem to be anything we can do against them.
Well, why the hell aren't you here?
Because we're trying to decipher the language patterns of the bees.
You're doing what? Are you mad? You mean you want us to conduct peace negotiations with bugs?
Either that, or you can consider praying.
Yeah, you're trying to do like a peace negotiation with bugs.
With bugs. And so then they cut to, this is the best sequence. This is where the movie just went, we don't give a shit anymore. John Saxon and his girlfriend, or this actress, they're in bed together, sleeping. And we see the bees are sneaking in through the air vents.
Oh my God, I hate this scene.
And then all of a sudden, they're covered in bees. They start getting like randy. You know, they're a little horny in the middle of the night. So they start going out a little bit, and then they realize bees are all over them. But not just all over them, they have consumed the room that they're in.
I looked at you, and I was like, no way. I would quit the film. There's no way. I wouldn't even actually sign on for this thing, first of all.
But Joe, they slowly get out of bed, and the door opens up for them.
The bees open the door.
Not just that door. They also lead them into the room with the science lab and open that door for them, too.
Yes, they do. They're trying to be kind. See, they could have attacked them. They could have killed them right then and there. But they have an understanding, Scott.
They're speaking to them.
They're speaking to them.
There's
they're
a noise coming from the bees.
Yes. Yes, they're speaking to John Saxon and Sandra. They're speaking to them.
We can't understand it very much of what they're saying.
No.
But John Saxon goes, we don't understand you yet. We're trying to communicate. And I love the girl does what her husband did in the opening. She talks loud.
We believe it.
We've been covering the material, but we haven't been able to decipher your language.
We'll keep trying. We'll keep trying.
Yes. With broken English again to the bees.
Yes.
We don't understand. We will. It's like there's a billion of them around you. They can hear you.
Oh my God. This room is covered wall to wall. I was so sick to my stomach, and they were like walking through the doors completely covered in bees, like covered. Like
that's where John Saxon's like uncomfortable.
You can tell he is just not happy. And I'm telling you, if I had just one of those fuckers on me, I would lose my mind. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Now the movie wisely cuts to the United Nations, where they're telling the United Nations a speech. John Saxon's doing an entire speech about how the bees are taking over the earth and they're spawning at 2 billion a day.
And there's nothing that you can do about it.
There's nothing we can do about it. They're going to they have told us they're going to kill humanity unless we come to an agreement of how to live together. And everybody's like, you're nuts. Okay, yeah. Enough's enough. And he's like, you're not listening to me. They're going to take over without you or with you.
So he's trying to get them to come to some kind of understanding where they don't try to kill the bees. They just try and live in harmony with the bees. So at that moment, the bees crash through the window and everyone's running and freaking out and swatting, their arms and whatever. And John Saxon says, they're not hurting you. They're not going to hurt you. So it's, in other words, the bees were there so they can join
the United Nations.
That's bottom line. We are part of you. We are part of this situation. We want you to understand us, and we want to understand you. And we will not sting you. We will not kill you as long as we can coexist.
They won't harm you. Stay where you are. Now listen. There are approximately 20 trillion of these bees in existence. And they're multiplying at a rate of 5 billion a day. From now on, they will dominate the earth equally with mankind. Or without mankind, depending on whether or not we accept their terms. I know you will accept. There's no other way to survive.
Boom. Credits roll.
Credits. Holy shit.
Holy shit.
Look, we asked the question on the show, is this the worst movie ever made? I say no.
I think this movie took itself way too seriously. I'm in shock about how they expected us to buy into this. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. The concept of the understanding between humans and bees, come on now.
I know. It's silly. It's
completely bonkers.
It's insane. I cannot believe this movie was put in the theater. I cannot believe this movie was made.
I can't believe, but what
I can't truly believe is that this is not more of a more popular bad movie, because this is the ultimate, and I guess I'm going to say this pun right here, B movie.
Oh, buzz off.
This B movie is the biggest B movie.
Oh my God.
I love it.
I know you do.
I love it. It is so silly. It is so stupid. It is so insane that I can't get enough of it. It is so weird.
Well, what's your score on it? You're going to say 6?
This is a 4. No. Oh, my God. This is so bad, it's good.
Okay, 4.
To me, this is a 4.
Okay, it's a 4.
We're doing bad movies that we like.
Yes.
Like, I can't. When people talk about movies like, we bring up Plan 9, you know, and in the past years, we've done some movies like Miami Connection, Hard Ticket to Hawaii. I think this movie is exactly one of those movies.
Yeah, it's bonkers, but it's not bonkers. It's not like in your face slapsticky, but it's funny. It's like, I think it's inadvertently funny.
When the people are running, that's a comedy.
Yeah. And do you have any trivia on that? Like, how did they...
No, I can't find any information about this film.
Wow.
Except for the fact that they filmed scenes twice because they did it in different languages, and that the movie was being filmed by someone else, and they got the other guy who was the producer.
I mean, it's crazy. The whole idea of, you know, I mean, we coexist with bees. You know, they are actually very good for our environment.
Yeah.
But it just seems like this movie was like next level. Like, it's almost like they didn't understand or tried too hard to understand the bees. You know, it was weird. Like, they're trying to make a statement, but it just didn't hit right. It's weird. Like, they just didn't get it.
Well, I mean, I think that the message, and I think it's even funnier because it's just as relevant as it was in the 70s. We still don't take this shit seriously.
No, we don't.
Like, this stuff is very important to our ecosystem, our climate. Like, everything is... people don't know how important this stuff is, and that they just keep being found dead or they just disappear,
mm-hmm.
and how bad it is for us. And also that we keep meddling with science and we create these terrible things.
Right. It's true.
It's wild. And I think that the statement is, to me, is there. It makes sense. But the package it's in is just crazy.
Yeah.
This feels like an episode of Star Trek or something. It feels like, you know, like I'm waiting for Captain Kirk. Like, I'm just waiting for that. I'm waiting for Captain Kirk with a bee woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That would have been cool.
Yeah, it would have.
Well, all right,
are you agreeing with me?
Yeah, four, 100%.
Yeah, and when we say four, I personally think fours are so better goods.
Yeah.
Movies that are just terrible, but they're elevated into that spot.
Yeah.
I feel like I always have to say that. This is not mediocre. This is insane. I suggest everybody watch it.
I mean, it is. It's definitely a four. It's insane. It's kind of like a... It makes you squirm because you...
Oh, it's itchy. You're going to be itchy the whole time. Yeah, it makes
you itch because they're on you. And I kept seeing things at the corner of my eye that weren't there. And I was like, oh, shit. Now I'm like all in it. But anyway, yeah. All right. So that brings us to our segment of why we can't have nice things, where I read out the two extremes of internet reviews, a 1-star and a 10-star review, as proof that people ruin the rating system and prove that no matter what, there's always going to be someone who messes it up for the rest of us. And I'll tell you what, I can only find one 10-star and one 1-star.
I love that there is one of each, though.
There's one of each. So we'll start with the 10. John Carradine has the worst excuse for a German accent that I've ever heard.
Wunderbar.
I love it. My 10 out of 10 rating assumes that you're ready for some nice, corny, really dumb entertainment, because that's exactly what the lower-than-bee movie, The Bees, provides. Portraying killer bees getting loose and wreaking havoc, it's just plain laughable. If nothing else, the movie should show why John Saxon may be the greatest bee movie actor of the last 40 years. Of course, his co-star John Carradine, doing the lamest excuse for a German accent that I've ever heard, can't really lay claim to being Laurence Olivier either. Anyway, if the killer bees ever arrive, they ought to go after the people who financed the stinker. Hey, leave Corman out of it. It's probably the best example of unintentionally funny.
Okay. I can't believe that was a 10-star review, though. That's right. Odd.
He just doesn't know how to rate the movie. It's like, you can have those feelings.
Yeah.
And then, you know, give it a 5 or whatever if you're going to give it a mediocre score.
True.
All right. Number 1 out of 10. Worst of the worst. I had the misfortune to watch a Spanish dubbed version of this movie. If the performances are horrible, the Spanish dubbing makes them even worse.
I don't want to watch
it. Seriously, the dubbing is laughable. You can't take it seriously when Mexican actors try to imitate the Cuban, English, or Arab accent. Claudio Brook looks creepy every time he appears on screen. I don't know how John Saxon got involved in this mess, and his acting is certainly bad. The FX are laughable. Poor production values were used for a movie that intended to be a huge hit. We shouldn't accept this kind of crap. Probably other people find it amusing because they're not used to this kind of ultra-low-budget movie. The worst thing about the movie is that it tried too hard to be a decent movie. You can say it failed. Avoid the bees at all costs, not even Mystery Science Theater material.
Oh, wow. Wow. I mean, there's so much worse out there. Yeah. I can't believe that's couldn't find anything funny about it. That's insane. Yeah.
I mean, yes. I mean, it tried too hard to be a serious movie. I was saying that throughout, but it was fine. I mean, they set out to do this and I think they accomplished it pretty well. I mean, there was some poor choices made with the plot points that were ridiculous with the stupid elevator scene and all that. There's a lot of stupidity going on, but it was still entertaining. So just going to stick with the 4.
I love how quick this woman got over her husband's death and hooks up with Saxon.
Scott, it's been 4.5 days. It's time.
That's time.
She has to move on. She has needs.
You're right. And she did see Saxon's hairy arms.
Yeah.
And his hairy back. So, you know, that's pretty much the sign of...
It's time.
It's time. He's got those sweet moves.
Oh, man.
This movie. Oh, my God. I love it. I'm glad we watch it. I'm glad I have it. I think it's funny. I would love more people to watch this movie just to laugh. So
I think everyone should watch it. It's very entertaining.
It's so funny. It's like free everywhere too. It's like on Tubi. It's on YouTube. You can find it anywhere.
There you go. Just pop it in.
Yeah.
Or you know, stream it. Whatever you're gonna do.
Oh, it's out there, and it's definitely worth a check out, I think.
Yeah, it was fun. It's a fun movie. I mean, I don't know about owning the special edition DVD, but you know what, Scotty? Whatever makes you happy. Whatever makes you happy.
If you're allowed to have Howard the Duck and dolls and Garbage Pail Kids, I'm allowed to have this.
Why do you got to bring dolls into this? That is my movie forever.
I love the other two were like, I won't even mention them.
No, those are trash. Those are trash. I mean, you know, things don't hit the same when you're, you know, 9 years old.
Or my favorite is when you bought Mario Brothers. You're like, hey, look what I got.
Dude, I freaking love that movie. I don't give a shit. I like John Leguizamo in that movie.
That episode was fun.
That was a fun episode, and I like that movie. It's not as trash as everyone says it is. Fight me. I don't care. All right, that's the end of it.
All right, so look, Turkey Fest is done. It's over. We're moving on. We're moving on to December.
Oh, some Christmas trash.
Yeah. We're going to watch the worst of the worst.
Oh, man. Christmas trash.
And then we're going to watch some stuff to gift ourselves. So we'll see. All right. Thank you for listening, everybody. You know, check us out on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. Hit us up with any thoughts, movie recommendations, theme for a month. We'd love to hear it. And we appreciate you for listening. Until next time, have a good one. Bye.
Good Lord. This chap's gone completely raging bonkers.
Would you mind?
You're not listening to me. Would you kindly listen to me and try to understand what I'm telling you? And please believe me.
You have to listen. You have to listen what the bees have to say.
Sorry, Doctor. We have to have you removed from this room. Please. Don't give any difficulties.
Don't make any trouble.
You don't know what trouble is yet.
You fools, you idiots. Now you leave them no choice.